And see what God has to say to us today. There is a portion of scripture that I brought last week, and I just want to read that portion of scripture again. And as I say on a regular basis, we all see things differently. There are circumstances and situations that we all find ourselves in, isn't there? It's like you take the whole decision to wear a mask. So I don't wear a mask that often, but I can say this. If I ever go into London and I get onto the underground again, I shall slough stuff all over my hands and probably wear a beekeeper's outfit and a mask underneath. Because when we go to Uganda, Susan and I, always what we do is we take gel with us. It's just a natural thing. You shake hands with someone and then you gel with hands. You touch something. I would say you touch the toilet seat, but there aren't such a thing as toilet seats. But you clean on a regular basis because you're mindful. When we're in the West, when we're in the UK, it's been so familiar with us not to do those things that over the last 2 years it's kind of hit us hard. Now, why do I say that? I'm glad you asked. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to teach today. Yes, it does. It means that we all see things differently. But what does God have to say about certain things? And last week I brought this challenge to us as a church about healing, about God's healing. There are times that we pray and we believe and we see nothing. Is that true or is it just me? But when I was working last Monday, I was doing some ground maintenance on a site that I look after, and I chopped the top off of a bee's nest or a wasp's nest, and all of a sudden I felt something sting me, and then before I knew where I was doing this and killing wasps or bees on my head as they started to sting me. My ear sort of grew three times the size, and I then felt something hit me here, and I realised that I'd been stung multiple times. So I signed myself off, and off I went in my car. And the first thing I did was to pray, and the second thing I did was to go to A&E, because I'm not silly. So there are times that we need to take the medications that have been prescribed to us, but there's also times we need to say, Lord, if you have something for me, then I want it. Many years ago, I went to a meeting of Christian believers, and someone offered prayer, and I went forward for prayer, and he said, so what can I pray for? And I said, anything God wants to give me, because he wants to give me good gifts. So whatever it is God has for me, I want it. And that's the attitude that I want us to have as we look at the whole area of healing and God's provision, that we want anything God wants us to have. And so I want to go through that scripture again and bring something a bit different than last week, and a challenge for us and encouragement for us to say for such a time as this. Because I believe, for those that weren't here last week, what I said was this, that, you know, there's a pendulum that swings. And sometimes we've been in meetings where it's swung too far this way, and we think, is this God? This seems to be a little bit weird. And then, because we don't want to offend the Holy Spirit, we kind of swing so far the other way that we don't mention prayer, we don't mention healing, we don't mention the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we don't mention falling over in the Spirit, we don't mention speaking in tongues, because we've been living over here for too long. But I want to be like the three bears. I want to be the Goldilocks. This is too hard, this is too soft, this is just right. We want to get God's word right. I know, I'll use anything. We want to get God's word just right, don't we? We want to see the balance in what his word says. So on one occasion, Jesus was teaching. This is from Luke 5, verse 17. Hopefully, as we go forward with this technology and that, I'll get the scripture up on the board without interfering with the iPad. So maybe we can do something in the future. One day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village in Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem. And then it goes on to say this, and the power of the Lord, the power of God, was with Jesus to heal the sick. It's a dunamis, that word. It's a dynamite. It's a powerful thing. And the Bible says this, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Hard to believe, isn't it? when we look around, it's hard to believe that this power, this dynamite, this Holy Spirit, the Bible actually says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that dunamis that raised him from the dead, lives in you and lives in me. Who would have known? And then I want us to grab hold of that. God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not what we do separate from God. It's Christ in us. Some men came carrying a paralyzed mat. You're very familiar with this portion of scripture. And they tried to see Jesus and they couldn't. So they went up on the roof and they pulled the roof to bits and they lowered him down in front of Jesus. And this scripture goes on to say, when Jesus saw their faith in verse 20, he said, friend, he saw their faith. What do you think it was he saw? Was there something written on them that said, I have faith? Did he understand that they went to the synagogue on a regular basis? What was it, do you think? I can only assume that the faith that he was talking about was, they were sure that if they got this man before Jesus, that he would be healed. It was their actions, wasn't it? It's their actions. When God asks us to do something, it may seem foolish. Oh, go and dip in the river. Well, we've got water far cleaner at home. What do I have to dip in that filthy river for? But I'll do it because you said, dip in it seven times and he comes out clean of his infirmities. And sometimes God will ask us to do foolish things, but if God asks us to do them, then there's going to be a manifestation, isn't there? When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees went on to talk amongst themselves. They said, this fellow speaks blasphemy. When Jesus heard what they were saying, he said, which is easier, to forgive sins or heal his sick? Get up and walk. God wanted to prove a point. I have authority to forgive sins and to heal the sick. And the question for us last week was, does God still forgive sins today? Well, if he still forgives sins today, and the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today and forever, and he can still forgive sins today, that means he can still heal the sick today, can't he? He can do that. So I just want to encourage us to look again at God's word, to say, Lord, whatever you want for me, I want it. Lord, if I'm here to stay in this infirmity and that's your will for my life, then so be it. But Lord, if you want to manifest your grace in me, if you want to heal me of this infirmity, if you want to give me eyes to see in a different way, then I want what you have for me. That's the encouragement I want for us as a church. And I want us to be able to pray for those that are unwell, even though we are sick ourselves. I want us to have the grace and the assurance that when we do something in his name, he is able to heal. See, I'm not a faith healer. I'm a man of faith, and I know God heals, but I'm not a faith healer. But I do know that God heals. And I know that he asks us to walk out in faith. And sometimes our mustard seed might simply be, okay, I'm just going to pray. That's our mustard seed. But God takes the mustard seed, doesn't he? Plants it, and something wonderful grows. In Luke 5, verse 12, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered in leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This man has obviously heard about the ministry of Jesus. He would have been familiar with the Torah. He would have been familiar with the prophetic. He would have been familiar with the stories that he'd heard about this man. That when he laid hands on the sick, they recovered. When he prayed to his heavenly Father, he was answered. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand. He touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. In James 5 verse 13 it says this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Then let him pray. You know, you could take the word of God. It's alive and active, isn't it? So we could take these same words and we could say them today. That's how fresh the Bible is. Have you read a portion of scripture and you've read it and you've read it and you've read it and you think, I know this. And then you read it again and you go, I never saw that. I never heard that. You know, that's because it's alive and active and it still speaks today. So we could be saying to us as a congregation, I could say this, and I will. Is anyone among you in trouble? Then speak to someone else. No, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other. There are times that our sins, our deliberate actions that are anti what God wants will cause us pain. There are times. If I put my hand into a fire, then my hand will get burnt, won't it? If I go into a place where God doesn't want me to go and I experience things he don't want me to experience and I do things that he does not want me to do, there is a strong chance that I could catch a disease that I don't want. Is that God's fault? No. I put myself in the lion's mouth and he bit it. So there are times that we do things and we know that there are things wrong. And Lord, forgive me for this. And that's part of our healing as well. That's part of what is being said here in James. It talks about praying for one another. It talks about believing that God can. And one of the things that struck me when I was reading through scripture was this. I don't know if you feel this, but as I look around me, as I go into supermarkets and stores and I'm on the road, some people are tricked and they treat others as if they're lepers. Because of this pandemic, because of the uncertainty and the fear, people will cross the road if someone's coming who's not masked. People will stand back if someone's coming towards them. And when a friend comes up to another friend, they will keep their distance. Now, there's times where wisdom will say that's what we need to do. I'm not talking about that. But you know what? There are times where when someone comes up to us and say, I've just lost my loved one, they want someone to touch me. There's power, you see, in touch. If Susan's a stranger, I'll do this because I know her. If she's a stranger and she comes to church and she starts to cry and I say, you can, this tragedy has just happened, I want to be able to say, listen, I want to pray with you. Give your hand. Let's pray that the Lord will touch you. See, there's power in touch. And the challenge was this. If you are willing, the leper said. Now, you know the culture of the day. The culture of the day was you don't touch leper, because if you do, it could be transferred onto you. Fortunately, there's been a medication that can stop people dying of AIDS these days. But when AIDS first came about, there was an understanding that you didn't go near someone who had AIDS. You can't catch AIDS just by touching someone unless you have an open wound and there's a blood infection. But we would stay away, people would stay away from those that had them. They would say, it's because of your lifestyle, it's because of this, it's because of the sin. But you know what those people needed? Someone to touch them. Say, I'm willing. So the challenge for us as church, and the challenge for me as a Christian minister, is to discern when to lay hands and when not. But as a church, the Bible says, if you're sick, call upon the church to lay hands and anoint. There's something powerful when we embrace one another. There's something so powerful about that. And I think we're losing it. And if we're not careful, there's a weapon in the armory that we'll lose because of fear. Now, I'm asking us to be faithful and sensible. Don't get me wrong. There are times I won't go near certain situations. Many years ago, a friend of mine who was my best man at my wedding, his name's Steve, and he was adopted, and him and his brother, they found some lovely parents, and they lived on a main road, and His brother was in the Navy and he used to like to drink, and he came home one night, got out of the taxi, worse for wear. Instead of stepping forward, he stepped back in the car, came and knocked him over and killed him. Now, I was a spirit-filled, born-again Christian at that time, and Steve came round my house. And in a split second, I have to think, what am I going to say to this man? You know, well, he could be going to heaven, he could be going to hell. So Steve stood in front and he said, Andrew, or Will, as he called me, Will, my brother's just been killed. And so I ministered to him by putting my arms around him and crying with him. Do you think he wanted to hear about Jesus at that moment? No. He wanted the touch. And because Christ lives in me, then he was being embraced by the Lord, wasn't he? See, there's power in touch. Let me put the caveat, please. I'm not saying that you go out and you touch everything that's unclean. I'm saying there are times where we don't have the words, but we can hold someone's hand. We don't have the words, but we can put an arm around them. When we were standing on the door, Bernie and I, my other glamorous assistant, someone came into church and said, "This is the best hugger in the church." And I felt a little bit left out at that moment, but hey, I'll work on it. But you know what that says is, this is so warm, this is so inviting, this power in that. I'm not saying that you go out into the supermarket and hug everybody. But what I'm saying is, when Steve came and knocked on my door at his moment of need, I didn't give him a 3-point sermon. I showed the love of God. Now what this portion of scripture says is, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I am willing. So my challenge for us is, are we willing to do what God calls us to do in the difficult times? And that's a challenge, isn't it? Because, you know, we don't feel that we can walk on water. But the Bible is clear. If you're sick, call upon his people. I am someone who gets frustrated from time to time. And you know, one of the things within a Christian perspective that frustrates me the most, and I'll be honest with you, and I try to be, is when I hear about Christians who have been given a terminal illness, diagnosis, they're going to die. And they never ask the church to pray for them. They don't ask their minister to come around and lay hands on them. What makes me so frustrated are Christians who will say, I've tried everything, but they've never asked for prayer. Because I won't mention, because you don't know this situation, I'm not going to mention names. There was a young girl in a very close proximity to me, and she had Christians around her, and this time she was ministered to, and some people would say that she accepted the Lord, and she was only a young mother dying of cancer in her 30s. And you feel helpless, don't you? You go, what can I do? Well, I know what I can do. I can go and pray. So I knocked on the door and I said hello, and then the family was familiar to me, so they let me in. And she's on the sofa and she's slowly ebbing away. And I said, I'd love to pray with you. And the mother said, that's okay, the doctors are in control of the matter. And I'm getting frustrated, going, yes, but it's not for me to impose myself upon them, is it? But that's sad, isn't it? Oh, we've tried everything. You know, the doctors have done this and the doctors have done that, and they've said there's hope and there's this, and yet they won't come to the God of hope. And so often we can be the same, and this is an encouraging word, by the way. So often we can be the same because we're familiar with what the Bible says, and we think that it's okay, God will bless someone else. But we don't always believe that he'll bless me. What about me? Lord, what about me? Like the birthright that was given to someone else. What about me, Father? Have you not got a blessing for me? Well, God doesn't just give one blessing out. He blesses all his children. So he wants to bless you. But there's times, I believe, as Christians, as believers, that we have faith to believe that the person we take to God will be healed because God is a gracious God. But maybe this is how I'm supposed to stay. that God will bless someone else financially, but who am I to ask for finances? God wants you to be in a prosperous position. Do you know why? So that you can be generous. You know what the secular world says, if you're in an aeroplane and there's an oxygen deficiency or the plane's going down, God forbid, then put your mask on first and then put someone else's mask on. You see, you can't help them unless you help yourself. But we could be told as Christians that that's selfish. Surely that's selfish to help yourself first. No, if you are someone who can't swim, you're not going to help someone else who can't swim. Learn to swim and then you can help the person that's drowning. If there's a situation that you find yourself in, then ask God the question, are you willing? And he'll give you the answer, yes, I am. And so I bring the message today because of what was going through my mind this week about how there are fearful people around us. There's a big difference between being faithful and being fearful. There's a big difference between foolishness and faithfulness as well, isn't there? Now listen, those guys, if that was a multi-story block of flats, I'd advise them not to be digging through the roof, because there's several roofs to go through. There's times where we can put ourselves in danger and put other people's lives in danger. Not talking about that. I'm talking about the simplicity of what God says about praying. But these men that carried their friend, they were challenged. We can walk, he can't. Here's a healer, let's take him. You know, bring people to the cross. Bring your friends to that position where you can say, I know someone that can lay hands on you. That's you. You can just lay your hand and say, Lord, according to your plans and purposes, bless this person. When someone's suffering, you know, what does scripture say? It says, don't say to someone else, be well fed, stay warm, be blessed, and do nothing about their physical need. See, there's a physical and a spiritual. I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again for an illustration. As a young Christian, and even as an older Christian, I'm always learning new things. I'm always being challenged, and I've always found myself to be generous. Not as generous as I could be, I'm sure, but always had that within me, even as a non-Christian. I've always wanted to help other people. I was, at the age of 14, I was the agony aunt in my school. This was something that God had for me. But I still had this edge about I knew best. And there was a man on the Tuesday marketplace in King's Lynn. He was a man that clearly lived on the streets. He was unkempt, unshaven. He was smelly. He had holes in his clothes. He had shoes on or boots on, I can't remember, but he had plastic polythene bags because there was obviously holes in his boots. And I walked past this man and I thought in my wisdom, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll go buy him something to eat. So I went to the delicatessen, McDonald's around the corner, and I bought the biggest meal that they sold. And I bought a big tub of Fanta. It was in the summer. And I took this meal to this man, feeling so smug and proud of myself that I was this good Christian. And I went up and I said, here you go. And he looked at it. And instead of saying, thank you, I really appreciate your kindness and generosity, you must be a Christian, he said, I don't want this. I don't drink cold drinks. I live on the street all the time. What are you doing giving me a cold drink? And I thought, you ungrateful toad. And I walked away, and then as I'm walking away, I thought, hang on a minute, who am I? Why didn't I just go up to this man and say, what can I do to help you? What can I do to serve you? Can I buy you something to eat? Oh, yes, please, and can I have a hot coffee? But I thought I knew best. You see, there are times where we will see the unlovable and we'll think we can love them by just giving them something, where maybe all he needed was for me to sit beside him and put my hand on his shoulder and say, listen, can I pray with you? I went and bought a coffee from a snack van the other day. I thought one of my old colleagues was going to be there, but he'd moved on, and there was a couple of young girls that was running it, and I was really amazed at what she said to me. We had a coffee and she said, I said, where's Dave? And she said, oh, well, he's selling cars now and so-and-so's doing such and such. She looked at me, she said, do you go to church? You look as if you go to church. What does someone look like who go to church? So then I could share with her and talk to her, and it worked out that she lived in an area that when I used to do discos, church discos, I used to pick kids up just in her area so we could share and talk about the gospel. She said, hang on a minute, what church do you go to? She said, I've been there. I said, how have you been there? She said, well, my cousin, or I can't remember the relationship, but it was Dave and Heidi. Some of you will remember Heidi. It was a relation of Heidi, and she'd come to church years ago. See, we don't know what will happen. The point is this. The reason I share that is I didn't go to that snack van thinking I'm going to share the gospel, but the door was opened and I took it. When I saw that man in need, I thought I could meet the need according to what I thought he needed. You see, the blind man came up to Jesus, and Jesus said to the blind man, what do you want? You would think in the natural, wouldn't you, that if we had an appeal now and I said, you know, I'm going to pray for healing now, right? And there's a blind man in the room and he comes forward, that I wouldn't have to ask him what he wanted. Surely he wants his sight. Wouldn't you be amazed if this blind man came forward and I said, what would you like? He said, I want you to pray for my mother to be healed. Can you see what I'm trying to say from the ministry point of view? Let's connect with the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do I do in this situation? So whether you're taking a friend to sit before the Lord, or whether you're laying hands on them yourselves, it's a challenge, I believe, in the climate that we have, especially over these last couple of years, especially going into these next couple of years. There are many people that are fearful. It's divided the church. We know we shouldn't be fearful, but we are. But we keep coming back to God and saying, Lord, help me. And that's the journey that we're on. Some people have a measure of faith that will believe for one thing, and others have a measure of faith that will believe for another. There'll be those that will believe for the manifestation of the Spirit in healing, and others that will believe for manifestation of the Spirit for finances. Others will believe for salvation. There'll be one person that will speak to someone and they'll become a Christian within minutes. Another person, they're speaking to them for years and nothing happens. But that person that's praying for salvation won't necessarily pray for healing, won't necessarily pray for it. God's given us a measure of faith, hasn't he? And if you look at his word and he talks about a measure of faith, then surely it means that faith can grow. So as we step out and step into what God shows us, then maybe we can see that measure grow. So my challenge for us today, and I'm going to read these other scriptures and conclude, is in the world we live in today, there are people that are tread like lepers. And if we're not careful, we won't touch. We'll be fearful. And I'm saying, if God says minister in that way, then put your arm on their arm. Take their hand. As Steve came to my home, I embraced him, I hugged him, and I cried with him. And that is sometimes the ministry that God's called us to. Also, I want us to believe that God can heal us. He's not just going to heal someone else, but he can heal us. So if you find yourself in need at some point, then you pray. If you find yourself in need at some point and you want someone to agree, what I like to say is this. When someone says to me, Andrew, will you pray for me? I say, no, but I'll pray with you. Because where there's an agreement, there's power, isn't there? So I'll pray with you. Where two are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. So if I pray with you, it's us believing for this. I'm going to believe. I have a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. Let's come together. But there's always a caveat. There's always a but. I want to remind us of Job and his story. His wife said to him in Job 2:9, his wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? There are times that we have been sick, and we've been sick for a long time. And when the world looks at us, when we preach restoration, when we preach about God's word, when we preach about his healing, they may be thinking, are you still believing that stuff? While you're stuck in your chair, or you're stuck in your bed, or you're limping, Or you're having problem with your breathing, you're having problem with your eyesight, your hearing. You still believing that stuff? In other words, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die, she says. That's what the enemy wants us to do. To curse God and to die. He replied, "You're talking like a foolish person, a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In this, Job did not sin in what he said. It's the attitude of our hearts, isn't it? At the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak, and that maybe people will see Christ in you. In Job 1:20, it says this. At this, Job got up and tore his robe. He just heard that his entire family had been wiped out just in one disaster. And here's a man who's suffering, where the enemy has said to the Heavenly Father, he only serves you because things are going well in his life. And there are people that will look at the church and go, yeah, you're only serving God for what you can get. Because you want to get a new watch and a new car and you want this and you want that. You're only serving God because everything is well in your life. Well, and people think that because we have a good attitude, hopefully. They don't know that there are times that we go through trouble and tribulation. This man was going through the worst trouble and tribulation that you could imagine. His skin was literally falling off. He just lost his family. And this is what happened. It's an encouragement for us all. He fell to the ground and worshipped. He mourned for the loss of his family. And then he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said this, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord's taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." So we can be encouraged to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We can be encouraged to praise God through our own infirmity. Sticking with Job, it says in Job 42 verse 10, after Job had prayed for his friends. There are people around us that we, if they're our friends, then what are our enemies like? That's what happened here when we read through Job. His friends would come along and say, "You're like this because of the sin in your life." And sometimes we can be confronted by well-meaning, wrong Christians who say, "You're like this because of the sin in your life." And you should say, "Hang on a minute. When I accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, he cleansed me of all unrighteousness. Yes, there are things that I do that I shouldn't do, and I put them right with God on a moment by moment, day by day, week by week basis. But the sin you're talking about don't exist." See, it's important for us to know Scripture. But these friends of his were saying, "Surely, Job, you must be doing something wrong, or else you wouldn't find yourself so persecuted." Well, that's a lie of the enemy, isn't it? But we look through this. He says, when he prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortune. He had an attitude of praise and worship in disaster, didn't he? When the Lord was taken away, he still offered up fragrance to God. When his friends was demoralizing him and cursing him, he still prayed for their restoration. This portion of Scripture says that God restored them, and then he restored Job. And it says that Job was given back twice as much as what he had before. You see, for us, we may not receive our final inheritance until we're at home with him. But while we're here in this tent of this body, we can praise him. We can say, "Lord, show me the people you want me to pray for. Lord, give me the compassion to see with your eyes, not to make a judgment, to make a right judgment. Lord, if you show me something, show me what to do. Lord, do I put my hand on this person? Do I put my arm around this person? Do I hold them tightly? Do I pray for them from afar? Lord, show me." Let's be a people that will come before the Lord's throne at this moment in time and say, "Lord, we're in a dying world. Help me to help others. Help me to serve them, that I may be blessed because I'm being a blessing." In James 4 verse 1, it says this, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they come from your desire, that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill and you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and you fight." He's talking to the church here, by the way. You would think that he'd be going into the world and saying this, wouldn't you? "You do not have because you do not ask." So there's times that we don't have because we don't ask. "However, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. Now, when I gave that man food, I was giving him because I wanted to, yes, but I also felt a bit smug about it. I also felt that I'm being a good Christian. You know, I didn't learn what I needed to learn till after I'd been rebuked by God. And there are times that we ask with the wrong motives. But when we have that heart to say, Lord, will you bless my friend? Will you bless those that are in church? Lord, will you heal those that are in church, even though you're going through pain? What happens is this, when you bless, you are blessed. When you give, you do receive. And Luke 4:40 says this, At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness. And it says this, and laying his hands on each one of them, he healed. I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about mental healing, emotional healing. I'm talking about people who feel ostracized and like lepers. When we are willing to get up close and personal with those that are feeling broken and marginalized and forgotten about, when we can sit with someone who's suffering and say, listen, it's okay, and we just hold their hands, then I believe there'll be a manifestation of the Spirit. So it's a challenge for us. I'm going to close with this. Ephesians 4 verse 12. It's talking about equipping the church. If I just go up to verse 11, it says, so Christ himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? I'm glad you asked. To equip his people for works of service. So who are his people? It's the church, isn't it? It's us. So God gives gifts to the church. There's men and women who are gifted in certain areas in life to encourage everybody else, to encourage everybody else to be an encouragement and to be encouragers of other people. We're all being called. We've all got gifts. But he gives this to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ, that's us, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. And then it goes on in verse 14 and it says, why? It says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That's Christ. He's the foundation and he's the capstone. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, that's us, and those that call themselves Christians, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So each one of us are just important as the other person. The one who does this part in the kingdom is as important as the one who does that part in the kingdom. The one who prays for someone else to be healed is as important as the one who lays hands on someone to be healed. The one who goes and gives physical help to someone is just as important as the one who gives finances to allow them to give physical help. We're a body. And as we lay hold of the fullness of God's word, and that's why I'm bringing these messages on healing, because I don't want the pendulum to swing over there to say, you know, this is weird and wacky and people are doing strange things. I don't want the pendulum to go over there and say, well, it's not my concern, I don't need to pray. I want us to be level, even. I want us to have the full measure of maturity so we can say, hang on, Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and see God do something. That the Bible says, if you're in trouble, praise. If you are happy, worship. If you're in need, call others to help you in that need. Let's pray. Let's sift through the things that I've shared this morning. Sift through them and throw the bad out and keep the good. From the illustrations of laying hands on my friend and hugging him when in times of need. Sift through the fact there are times where you can bring someone to the Lord and place them at his feet and say, God, you touch them. There'll be times where, sift through the times where God may say, I want you to embrace this person. I want you to, even though you're feeling fearful, to walk forward in faith, knowing that I am with you. When I was in the car full of bee stings, I could have just gone home, but I didn't. I prayed and then I went to the A&E. Why? Because God's given us the things he's given us so that we can be all that he wants us to be. I'm not someone who's suggesting come off of your medication. I'm not someone who's suggesting don't go to the hospital when you're ill. I'm someone who's suggesting this. First port of call is God. So Lord, you can do this. Lord, you can heal me. You can heal my sister. You can heal my friend. And we're not just talking about physical healing. We're talking about mental healing, emotional healing, financial healing. You can take the fear away by simply placing your hands in the right place at the right time. Father, help us to be your hands and feet in your pockets. Help us to share the fullness of your gospel, the truth of your word, that all things are possible for us who believe. That, Father God, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let us be in touch with the Holy Spirit. Let us listen to what you say to us. Let us see what you show us. Father God, let us be obedient. Let us be those that know that when we get things wrong, you restore us, that we may be the fullness of your body, working in harmony, Father God, one voice, one God, one Spirit, one church, one people. We ask you, Lord, to bless us so we can be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.